heard about the B biotype coming in, supposedly Middle Eastern. Is that the proper term, Rosie? Middle Eastern. Moving in the 80s, making its way, depending on which scenario you accept, to cause all sorts of devastation to IPM across the Southwest in particular and in controlled environments. You've also heard the reports recently of this Q being Mediterranean in nature. Rami gave a great talk a little bit earlier this morning. And it is that I'm going to be focusing on here. We came in 2005, as was mentioned by Cindy, with this report of it occurring, not surprisingly, 1 mile from the Tucson campus in a retail nursery. The diagnostics, I am by no means an expert in, but you've already heard about the PCR amplification followed by sequencing, and you're accustomed, I'm sure, to seeing the sort of homology trees which show you our field. Don't do that. Field samples showing a 99% homology with the Spain 99Q, which you can find on GenBank, and only a 95% homology with the Arizona B, which you've now heard, and I didn't know was so homogeneous across the country. We didn't have to have these diagnostics, though, to find this. I like to say that the Q biotype found us. And it found us because we have supported biofield crops, in particular cotton, a resistance monitoring program. And why is that? Because the B biotype kicked their butt over a course of about 10 years and cost them millions and millions of dollars. And so resistance is the Achilles heel of holding together what are large and very effective IPM programs and the combined efforts of insect growth regulators and BT cotton in 1996, many of you know, has our pesticide use that Dr. Ellsworth has documented on a yearly basis very fastidiously at historic lows. So the issue is this going to unravel? This is a sort of bioassay work. This shows you a typical one slide showing a lot of suffering on the part of my whitefly lab manager, Ben DeGain, who you'll show a picture of in a minute, and Ginny Harpold, who's also with us here. These are box plots, which I'm sure you're accustomed to, which show you the each of these being the grand mean for a specific field site. So this is the whole state's data in one picture for piriproxifen. You see the upper and lower quartiles, the inner quartiles of the data, and a 95% confidence limit for the mean for that set. What did this Q that found us look like? All right, I could run that line out to 100, actually, and still have substantial survivors. How about bupropion, our second insect growth regulator? How about a whole suite of these new neonicotinoids that are so important for whitefly control in a whole suite of crops? Well, here's imidacloprid, here's acetamiprid, here's thiamethoxam. And we'd never measured resistance to a combined pyrethroid organophosphate that was this low. I thought I had seen the worst it could be, but no. This was just essentially they're immune. While we were doing all of the bioassaying, the state agencies kicked in, task force set in, Lance Osborne's leadership on the ornamental side, the cotton industry, ornamentals industry, vegetable industries got together, the state regulators, they tracked this back to a place about 100 miles from here to the north, monstrous propagation facility, million square feet under glass, tracked back from that find. That was further tracked back to a place that's not very far from here at all, but is one of the major sources of propagation material for poinsettias throughout the U.S. I hypothesize at this point that if we found it in sleepy little Tucson in a small store, tracked it back to this route, that was not the only place it ended up, and quite fortunately, through a little bit of bump and grind, there was a USDA APHIS initiated monitoring program set up with states cooperating. I didn't get Washington on this one, but we're now at 24, as Cindy has said. While all that was going on, after we finished our bioassays of these samples we brought in from the field, put them into culture, okay, we're going to study this thing. I gave it to Jim Bethke, Eve Carrier, and my lab and Judy Brown's lab. We all saw that thing shift within the course of about 6 to 8 months to the B biotype. None of us could keep it. I was doing everything possible in cages like this, spraying, et cetera. I can't go into the details. We lost it then by the end of night, or by the time we were into our field season for 05. All right, change gears, jump back out into the field. This is our typical resistance monitoring scenario. Here you see cotton melons poinsettia, a total of 26 field collections, 13 greenhouse nursery, 2005, surprisingly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cues out of a total of 13 from samples coming from poinsettias in retail establishments. Not one of them were we able to establish a culture of. Most of these had very small numbers, and we put them into culture, and this sort of showed you, not one. So now we're in 2005, we've got evidence of a big problem and nothing in culture that any of us can work with. You know the feeling, Rosie? Okay, none of these in culture. In comes the bright new hope. Dr. Shun-Shun Lee joins us, and Wei-Wao Ma, the student, joins us from China. Here you have Ben on the right, Ginny on the left. These are the engines of the Whitefly Extension Resistance Lab. First thing they did was to follow the advice that came to us, again, good advice from Israel. Thank you, Rami. And Shai Moraine told us we need to get away from sequencing everything and use the new CAPS to digestion step that goes beyond, get you away from having to sequence everything. Shun-Shun led on this, validated the fact that this works equally well to the more expensive and difficult sequencing. Now we're into 2006. This shows you what we've got in terms of collections. Again, field collections, 29, 20 from the greenhouse, and you see, sorry, 1 out of 20. Total of 100 sites visited for ornamentals alone. This is, involves a fairly substantial effort that I'm racing through here. Where are we then? Well, the first point, and I didn't put it in my summary, and I should have started with it, we don't have it in the field. How well do we know that? Well, as best as we can, given that none of this is funded. We got 100, you know, it's coming from cotton, and yet we're tracking what could be a problem, and just adding it on to our normal resistance monitoring. 129 field sites that we've tracked and done the biotyping of. On the poinsettias, we're looking at 200 total site samples, 100 sites alone last year that Ben and I visited. Of those, you're rendering 14 collectible samples, 1 last year. We're down to an to 8 out of a total of 29 collectible samples, testable samples, I mean, where we had enough white flies to actually test. What did that 1 look like? Because now we have 1 from 06, right? How does it compare? Since the big question is, how much difference do we have in these cubes? And here's what we saw. Again, virtual immunity to pyroproxifen. Bupropion, not identical, but real close. Greatly reduced susceptibility. What do we see for our suite of neonics? Identical to imidacloprid, acetamiprid, very interesting. Strikingly different to acetamiprid. Important point there. Yet, thiamethoxam is the same. Danitol and orthine, forget it. And this new one, and this isn't 2004 I'm comparing, and these are last year's data, because I just put this slide together since we finished our biotyping last week. I put it together 2 nights ago. This is the box plots for spiromesifen, Oberon. Oberon was registered first in Arizona cotton in 05, June. Okay, these populations presumably haven't become, wherever they've come from, they've seen something similar. You can see an LC50 around 1, and yet we're below, we've got less than 50% mortality at tenfold that. We jumped out because of the 04, 05 rearing problems. Ben invested a great deal of his work effort in the last year to rearing these. Here you see the large cages again. You see what we call lifeboats. We set these up from the large cages every week, about 6 of them. We have a total of 60 cultures so that if and when the bee came in, we'd be able to have cultures and resurrect it so that we could do the research that needs to be done. Bottom line is, everybody's been able to keep it in culture. Sorry. No problem, anyone. We've got pure Q strains. They're in culture. They're doing fine. Summary then. 8 collections of Q in Arizona, only 2 with sufficient numbers to culture. The 2 collections that were successfully cultured were highly resistant to a broad range of insecticides, but that tells us a couple of things. The Q biotype will clearly have an advantage over the B in insecticide-treated environments, but not all Qs are the same. You saw that, I'm jumping ahead of myself, spiromesifin, something quite new. You can see it even that the Q is even resistant to that. Q biotypes were present in greater than 20% of the poinsettia collections. We found whiteflies, though, at only 29 out of 200 site samples, so the industry is really working at this. Lastly, there's some notable differences between PO4 and PO6 and how it cultured and its susceptibility. That tells us we need to be thinking not about Q as one thing, but Q as a lot of things, potentially. And we've maintained it for a year, and now it's my colleagues who are pedaling as fast as they can, Dr. Lee, Carrier, Tabashnik, because there's a whole host of critical questions here that need to be put in place so that hopefully this time, we don't know when it's going to move to the field, but if it does, we'd like to have some solutions in place before that. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, now, Tim, we do have, if you want to speak into the microphone, we do have time for one question.
Tim, have you tested your Q against spiral tetramet?
No,
I haven't. Have to challenge that
one. Yeah, no.
Just to clarify, the spiromesifin was B compared to 06 poinsettia? Your strain B, your Oberon?
That's PO6 versus all the field populations that we did last year. Which were all B.